This is Larry Becker, Radio Free Albany, and we're going to be interviewing Karen Beadle.
I'm from Capital District Border Watch, and we're going to be talking about The Infiltrators, which will be shown at the Sanctuary for Independent Media on Wednesday, December 4th. There are a number of community groups involved in that. There's the Sanctuary itself, Capital District Border Watch, Troy Sanctuary, Ice Free Capital District, and the Saratoga Immigration Coalition, as well as Extinction Rebellion.
And the sanctuary is at 3361 6th Avenue, Troy, New York. Can you tell me about these other organizations?
Yeah, so that evening, it's a collection of organizations that are involved in immigration work. And one organization that we've been collaborating with a little bit more recently. So we've got the Troy Sanctuary folks who are involved in trying to bring a sanctuary resolution to the city of Troy. We have Ice Free Capital District, which has been focused on both immigration issues and on working with the undocumented population here in the Capital District. We have the Saratoga Immigration Coalition, which works primarily in Saratoga County. And then we have Capital District Border Watch, which I'm part of, and I assume we'll talk more about that. Extinction Rebellion is a climate change organization founded a little over a year ago. There's a Capital Region chapter, and they've been interested in looking at questions of immigration and climate change.
Why don't you tell me about Capital District Border Watch?
Capital District Border Watch was formed in February of 2019. We were a number of people who had come together to respond to Trump's policy of separating families at the border. So it started out with the ACLU, Amnesty International, and a variety of activists who'd been involved in other refugee issues and other human rights issues. So by the time we hit February of 2019, it did not look like these policies were going away, and it made sense to coordinate and really form an organization that would have an ongoing goal of making the issues at the border issues in the Capital District.
So do you go down to the border at all?
Well, our goal is to bring the border and the issues of the border here. And one of the ways that we do that is by educating people about what's going on here and being a speaker for people who have been down to the border. Most recently, on Monday night, November 18th, we did a presentation with Sarah Rogerson, who's the director of Immigration Clinic at the Albany Law School, as well as Ashoka Mukpu, who is a reporter for the ACLU, who just got back from interviewing refugees in Mexico in Matamoros and Ciudad Juarez. So that was really important to get a clear sense of what it's like right now in Mexico, because in Mexico is where the point of tension with Trump's policies are.
And how would you describe what's going on there?
Well, there are 40,000 to 50,000 refugees who've been denied asylum, who were part of a metering system in which they were being trickled in. And then the metering came more or less to a halt for all refugees from the Northern Triangle countries. And that pretty much means any refugees who had to pass through another country to get here from Central America, because Trump has been strong-arming the presidents of these countries, particularly Guatemala, to declare Guatemala a safe place to apply for asylum. Guatemala had 100,000 disappeared people in the 1980s. There are drug cartels and a lot of violence that's very real and everyday. So the idea that Guatemala is a safe third country is ridiculous to pretty much everybody, but it facilitates creating a border outside of the United States so that Trump can fulfill that policy of causing the numbers of people to lessen, but not in any way that's legal by international law or in any way ethical.
So what does Mexico do with Guatemalans who come into Mexico and can't get through the border?
Well, Mexico is being a tool of the United States in the sense that they have brought more troops to the Guatemalan border. So they're actively trying to prevent people from coming into Mexico. And then I don't know of anyone who has actually applied for asylum in Mexico from Guatemala and been denied and would then be eligible to apply in the United States. So that whole process of applying in Mexico is not a process that many people know much about. And it's not a place that a lot of people apply for asylum, except the Bolivian president recently applied for asylum in Mexico. What we have right now is people who are stuck at the border. So an estimate of numbers of people stuck at the border is somewhere near 40,000. Okay, so these are people who already left Guatemala planning to go to the United States. There are also people in Mexico from all over the world, from Africa, from Russia, from a number of countries. So there's a refugee population from around the world, but very significantly Guatemalans, Hondurans, Salvadorans, Nicaraguans, who were already planning to apply and were halted in their application process and are now waiting at the border with no money to establish themselves anywhere. It's a huge refugee crisis at the border. It's getting colder. People are living in tents, like camping tents, rows and rows of camping tents at the border. Organizations are providing food carts, bringing food in. In Matamoros, there are food programs on the international bridge to offer breakfast and dinner for refugees. People are scrambling to figure out how to support 40,000 people as the weather gets colder.
Right.
And this is much less visible here in the United States than it was when people were actually on this side of the border being detained in those kind of cages and underneath international bridges. So the visibility has gone down and the danger is really high. So there's the danger of exposure, there's the danger of disease, there's the danger of hopelessness. But there's also the danger of the drug cartels and the child trafficking and all of the criminal activity that is very prevalent in that part of Mexico.
This is Larry Becker, Radio Free Albany, and we're interviewing Karen Beadle of the Capital District Border Watch. Why don't you tell me about The Infiltrators?
Okay. I heard about the movie The Infiltrators, and I was like so excited to bring it here to the Capital Region because there's no other film like it. And I was able to see it at the Berkshire Film Festival with one of the people who actually infiltrated as the speaker there. And so that really got me very excited about bringing it to Albany. So what is The Infiltrators? I'm going to read a brief description.
Sure.
Nearly a decade ago, filmmaker Alex Rivera first encountered the Dreamer activist group, the National Immigrant Youth Alliance. Captivated by their grit and determination, he began filming. The NIYA, an Obama-era youth-led movement, focused on stopping deportations. As their vision and creativity grew, their civil disobedience actions also escalated and became more daring. Rivera's vision also grew from imagining a short documentary to seeing the potential for a longer film, where the activists decided to get detained to stop deportation from within. With the initial intent of helping Argentinian Claudio Rojas, the undocumented youth infiltrated the Broward Detention Center in Florida by sending Marcos Saavedra inside to gather intelligence, spread information to other detainees, and to coordinate a plan to free them. Later, Viridiana Martinez joined him infiltrating the female side of the detention center. The film The Infiltrators documents the work of the activist Dreamers as they navigate inside the detention center, outsmarting the agents and organizing to free detainees. The infiltrator shows we are not powerless. We can fight back and be effective, said Martinez. We're taking our agency back, she continues. We need allies and we need people to have our back and to be standing beside us, but not to speak for us. Unable to shoot inside the actual detention center, directors Rivera and Cristina Ibarra opted for mixing genres and experimenting with adding scripted material. The story needed an innovative approach because it's about people who go into a place where you can't film, said Rivera. Using memory workshops with Saavedra, Martinez, and Rojas, as well as the Freedom of Information Act, Rivera and Ibarra worked meticulously to recreate the sounds, colors, and textures of the detention center. They also worked hard to hire actors who physically resembled their counterparts and could employ their essence. The film is a testimony to the steadfast commitment of the Dreamers, the detainees they served, and to the power of the Latinx community's vision and heroism. We're here to push back and to tell a story in which immigrants are hacking the system and are smarter than their opponents, explains Rivera. Immigrants not as victims, but as leaders, as visionaries. We may not be able to live legally, but we don't have to live in fear.
Right.
This event will be happening at the Sanctuary for Independent Media on Wednesday, December 4th. At 4:30, Alex Rivera is going to come and have a conversation about the making of the film. From 6 to 7 is a potluck and resource fair. So that's when all of the local immigration organizations are going to have information so that you can sign up, learn what they're working on. So, and then the film is screened at 7 p.m.
If somebody wants to get hold of the Capital District Border Watch, how do they do that?
Join Capital District Border Watch's Facebook group.
Thank you. This is Larry Becker, Radio Free Albany. We've been talking with Karen Beadle about the Capital District Border Watch organization and the upcoming movie, The Infiltrators. I want to thank Karen for joining me today.
Thank you, Larry.